Let us turn again to the chapter that we read together in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and let us read again verse 5. 2 Peter 2, 5. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. These words just now, a preacher of righteousness. That was Noah. He was preaching righteous things to the people of his generation. We know no doubt the story of the flood, how it came to a particularly ungodly generation, and the Lord made a provision for Noah and his immediate family of an ark, and also that representatives of each kind of creature would be brought into the ark, and that they would be preserved alive until the flood would be over, and then life would continue in some degree as normal in the world. But what we are to say something about this evening is Noah as a preacher of righteousness. And there are two main points I would like to speak to. First, that Noah was preaching God's righteousness in his acts of judgment. God was speaking about God's acts of judgment. And in that sense, he was a preacher of righteousness, because what God was to do was a righteous thing. And then in the second place, that he was speaking of the provision of an ark as something that God did in righteousness. And of course, the ark is a type of Christ. Christ is a refuge for sinners from the consequences of sin. As the ark was a place of refuge for Noah and his family from the consequences of the particular sins of that generation. Well, first, Noah preaching God's righteousness in relation to his acts of judgment. Noah as a preacher of righteousness, but now in particular speaking about God's judgment. And we are told here in this verse that God spared not the old world, though he saved Noah. He did not spare that generation. He did not spare it. But he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. That was judgment. And Noah was warning about that. He was telling the people, the flood is coming, a flood is coming. They didn't listen. They ignored it. They went on in their sins. They neglected God's kindness in sending a preacher of righteousness. But they would not listen. And how much there is of that in our time. There may be little contact between preachers of righteousness and the average person today. But what about those who are under the word of God and hearing the righteous acts of God spoken about? The acts of God in judgment. Is there any attention paid to that. You see, Peter goes on to speak about those who have forsaken the right way. There are those who walk in the right way, the narrow way that leads to everlasting life, the straight gate, the narrow gate that leads into that way, the way that goes on to heaven. They've entered in. They paid attention to the preacher. They paid attention to what is said in the Word of God about the purposes of Christ, purposes of God, that there will be a judgment, as we will come to notice. But you see, there's a great danger in forsaking the way of righteousness. And what is the way of righteousness? Well, we might just speak of it just now, or the right way. It's keeping the commandments of God, first of all. And obedience to God's commandments, not to have any other God. And how many other gods there are today, and how many people, how many gods there are that people living a reasonably moral life are following, worshipping themselves, giving themselves the first place, for instance, giving a high place to their possessions, to their ambitions, and so on. Now, are these things true of us? And yes, there is a danger for the people of God to have gods of that nature, a danger that the people of God would have their idols. People, other people who are getting too high a place in their hearts. Things that are getting too high a place in their hearts. But you see, for all that, they have some regard to the right way, and especially to the right way is pointed out in this way, that we are to be following Christ. That's the right way through life. Yes, there's a way of keeping the commandments of God, though that will be imperfect at best, but there's a desire to do so. But what about this? The call of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we following Christ? Trusting in him? Being willing to look to him, to have him as the one mediator between God and men? Is that our desire? Realizing that we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but designing that our sufficiency would come from God. Yes. Well, how is it with us? Are we seeking the right way? Or have we forsaken it? Are we still forsaking it? Have we any desire to walk in the right way? Have we any desire to follow Christ? Have we any desire to follow him? Or are we careless about these things? Well, we need a preacher in right of righteousness who will point out the danger of these things. And especially Christ as a preacher of righteousness. Though I will come again to that later. But Christ as a preacher of righteousness. Christ proclaiming what is true by way of the consequences of sin. Christ proclaiming what is true in warning about death and judgment and a lost eternity. And he did a considerable amount of that. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And we might say that Peter was a preacher of righteousness. Even in the sense that we are speaking about just now, there is so much in these two chapters, the second and third chapter of this epistle, that is by way of warning. He was a successor, a true successor of Noah. When you see the great preacher of righteousness is Christ, and whoever else we might listen to, you see the great thing is that Christ, by the Holy Spirit, would be applying these things to our souls. That's what we need. Are you asking for that? Well, how appropriate it would be for us to be asking that Christ would come where we are as a preacher of righteousness to speak powerfully into our souls. Yes, to speak powerfully. He has power. Then, what a human preacher might say will very readily bounce off a hard heart, for there is resistance against the truth. And indeed, many a time what Christ said in this world, it just bounced off the hard hearts of those who were listening to him. So many did not believe it. Prominently the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. They were very resistant to the words of Christ. But you see, let there be power. Let there be the power of the Holy Spirit accompanying the preaching of the word. And then it will be another matter. And that's what we should be asking for ourselves and for others. That sinners' hearts would be softened. That sinners' hearts would be made ready to take in what is said by the preachers of righteousness. Now, further in verse 15, you read of Balaam, the prophet, but an ungodly man. He spoke in the name of God. God used him. It is a most strange set of circumstances. Balaam being called by the king of Moab to speak against the Israelites. But you see, God did not allow him to speak against the Israelites, but he gave him a series of messages to speak for their encouragement. Yes, and for Balak's discouragement. But you see, Balaam was so much wanting to go when he was called by Balak. He loved, says Peter, the wages of unrighteousness. He loved the reward that he would get, but it was unrighteous wages. He would never have got any good from it. And in the end, he perished by the sword. He hatched a scheme. The Lord allowed him. You see, what so often happens when people resist the truth, when people forsake the right way. It so often happens that even as far as this world is concerned, they perish. And Balak perished. It is almost certain that he did, but Balaam perished. Yes, Balaam perished. But a solemn thing, sinners perish because of their sins. And I don't just mean that they are sent down to a lost eternity at the end of their life. But what I'm referring to is sinners perishing as far as this life is concerned. Being taken away in God's judgment, outward earthly judgment as it were. And they perish. See, God has his own ways of working, and we cannot judge that. But whether or not people, you see, Psalm 73 speaks of those who prosper and there are no bands in their death, and yet they're ungodly. Perhaps they love the wages of unrighteousness, but whether they perish, whether they die a premature death, whether something comes their way in this life by way of judgment or not, they certainly will go down to a lost eternity if they do not receive the gospel, and if they do not receive Christ as proclaimed in the gospel message. Here is Noah, then, a preacher of righteousness, warning sinners about the danger that they were in. And Peter, as a preacher of righteousness, he speaks here about God's dealings with the angels that sinned. Verse 4, God did not spare them, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment. You see, hell is their place. No doubt they come out of hell to tempt sinners. They're allowed that. But they're cast away into spiritual darkness. Those who are bright shining lights for a short time in heaven, they accepted Satan's temptation. When he raised himself up against Christ in particular, and they were at once sent out of heaven, reserved in chains of darkness. What a terrible thing to be in chains of darkness, of spiritual darkness, going on towards a lost eternity. Oh, as time goes on, let the unconverted be concerned that time is going on and that they are getting closer and closer if they will not repent. They're getting closer and closer to the chains of spiritual darkness, which they will not escape if they go down to a lost eternity, and they will go down, as every preacher of righteousness, continuing faithful to the message that he has been given, he will warn sinners of. Yes. And you see the warning that you have in the book of Job, where Eliphaz is speaking about the judgment of God. He's asking, "Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood?" Their foundation, their hold of this world, I suppose you could say, it was washed away with a flood. They were washed away into another world as to their souls. But you see, what characterized them, the way of thinking, they said to God, "Depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them?" Depart from us. Are you saying that yourself this evening, when you are warned of these things? Are you saying to God, when he also invites you to come to Christ, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, are you saying, "Leave me in my sins for another few years"? Well, he may leave you in your sins, but there's no promise that the Lord will leave you in this world. Life is so uncertain. But we are to mark that way. We are to mark the way of God's dealings with sinners, and we are to mark the way of the rebellion of sinners. You see, they're spared in this world in God's long suffering. Yes. And you have that in connection with the flood, when every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And the Lord resolved to destroy man from off the earth. He spoke this strongly, "It repenteth me that I made man." Now, of course, that's speaking of the after the manner of men. You hear that very often. But if God is changing his mind, it doesn't mean that he's doing that actually. But as far as his outward course of behavior is concerned, it gives the appearance of him having a change of mind. Now, it's this, that he is resolved to sweep sinners away from this world, and in particular he is revealing that he is going to sweep sinners away from this world rather than continuing their lives here. Such is their sin, such is the determination to put God away from them, the refusal to listen to what he has to say to them. But he says at the same time that he will spare them for another 120 years. "My spirit shall not always strive with man," but he will allow them another 120 years till the ark is finished. That's his long suffering. God is long-suffering. And which one of us can say that God was not long-suffering to us? He left us many a year in this world, more or less, when we were rejecting the gospel, when we were refusing to turn from sin and to come to Christ. Yes. But you see, the people of God did submit to the call of the gospel. They did believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were saved. God's long suffering, they got good from it. But you see, others, and that was true of the people before the flood, at least by and large, they went on spared in this world in God's long suffering. He suffered them to go on in this world without inflicting punishment upon them until the time of their long suffering ran out and they were swept away to a lost eternity. See? The kindness of God in his long suffering. Now, we're not to misuse God's long suffering. We're not to misuse it. We're to make good use of it. We're to welcome. That God is long-suffering. Yes. Not willing that any should perish. But that in this epistle. Or at least in what Peter has said. But you see, the time comes and God sends sinners away to a lost eternity. This is to be proclaimed. People might say this is a hard saying, as he said in connection with the Savior. This is a hard saying, all this that is said about punishment and hell and sin, it's all hard. And people are all the more inclined to say over again, "Depart from it. For we desire the knowledge of these ways. Depart from us. We don't want to hear." Ah, well. How foolish. You see, if it's here in the Bible, it's true. It's true. And it's a dangerous thing to be wrestling with the truth. It's a dangerous thing to be putting away the truth, even if it's by way of warning. Many a warning is given. Perhaps someone might say to someone else, your driving is dangerous. Something's going to happen. You can't go on like that and get away with it. Now, people might pay attention or they might not. But you see, if that's a general assessment, if the person's driving, that person is foolish to argue with it or to ignore it. And if we are warned about a lost eternity and the danger of going on in carelessness, it's dangerous to argue with it. It's dangerous. And if a preacher of righteousness comes and speaks about this, that God is just when he punishes the ungodly, it is dangerous to argue with that. It is dangerous to argue with God, full stop. It is dangerous to argue with God. It is dangerous to ignore what God is saying. Are you feeling something in your conscience this evening that is saying to you, you are the person being addressed? Now, I'm not speaking to any person in particular. But you see, one of the things about preaching as distinct from speaking to an individual is that you're not judging any individual. You're leaving it to the Lord to apply what is said to that individual. And don't conclude that I'm speaking to you more than to others. But God may be speaking to you. And that's something to pay attention to. If God is speaking to you, then be very careful. Listen. And ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to bless the truth to you. Ask the Lord to apply the truth to you. Yes, Christ is a great teacher. He is a preacher of righteousness. Yes. Hear him then. Hear Christ as a preacher of righteousness. And we can go to Matthew 25 and hear him speaking about himself. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and before him all the holy angels, before him and with him all the holy angels, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate between the sheep and the goats. He will separate them one from another. Yes. And he will bring them to judgment. He will set the sheep in his right hand and the goats in his left. He's speaking about himself. And it's these words are left there for us. And if we were to go straight from here to judgment this evening, he would separate this into sheep and goats. He would separate it. Separate us into two groups. One, those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who listened to a preacher of righteousness on some occasion, who listened to Christ as a preacher of righteousness, speaking through an ambassador, and took warning. And then, at some subsequent stage, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, and on the other side, among the other group are those who refused to listen, who refused to hear what the preacher of righteousness was saying and went on in their sins, yes. Christ is a preacher of righteousness still. And today's ministers are to be preachers of righteousness. And preachers of righteousness in this way, that they're not to refuse, they're not to stop warning about death, judgment, unbelief, and righteous, and a lost eternity. They're not to stop. They're to go on. There's other things they've got to say. But here is one important thing that they would preach concerning the danger of going on, about the judgment that is to come, about the lost eternity that sinners are bound for if they will not look to Christ. And then there is the warning that is to be addressed to those who never turned to Christ, who never took warning about death, judgment, and a lost eternity, when he will say to them on the day of judgment, "Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Depart, go away, away from all conceivable blessedness." Yes. And hear Christ again as a preacher of righteousness when he was warning about those who were alive in the days of Noah. It's in Matthew 24 at verse 37. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. It's not that these things in themselves were sinful. Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, they were appointed by God. But you see, the point is, people were going on as usual and paying no attention to the warnings of Noah, the preacher of righteousness, speaking to them in the spirit of God's righteousness, in God's righteous dealings with ungodly people. They knew not until the flood came. They didn't take it in. They heard about it, but they didn't take it in. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Yes. And so shall also death come. We can take it that it is by death we will be taken away from this world. Christ will not come until there's been a long period of gospel blessing, worldwide gospel blessing. But you see, it's not that these warnings become irrelevant if we understand Scripture in that way. It's that we realize that death may come suddenly and that it's certain that we will be swept away from this world. Sooner or later, it may be one by one, it may be a few at a time, maybe a large number at a time. But the point is that we're swept away from the state of long suffering. There's those who will go to heaven because they have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm referring just now about to those who are not taking seriously the warnings about death, judgment, and eternity. Yes. But there are those, as we find in chapter 3 at verse 3, about those who will come as scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? How are we to believe that Christ will come again to this world?" Those who do not believe that Christ is God, that he was just a man, and assuming that he is still buried somewhere around Jerusalem, they will say, where is the promise of his coming? They will say, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation, or all things continue as they were since man evolved on this earth, or saying that the continuity lies in the continuity of evolution, of development, leaving God out of account. They're scoffers, you see. They're asking clever questions, but they're not asking questions that have a root in sound, safe, reliable knowledge. And you see, the reliable basis for all that we believe about this world is this, that we should believe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created. And there's many a scoffer with many a scoffing argument in this world trying to refute what is said. They're just trying to squash it by mockery. But Peter has an answer. And one answer is this. There was a flood that interrupted the normal course of events. Sinners en masse, apart from Noah and his family, were swept away in one day, or at the very most a few days, into a lost eternity. However quickly the flood increased in height. That's a minor detail. But you see, we have that as a warning. When people get too confident in their ideas about uniformity, that things have gone on indefinitely. No, you have to say, there was a flood. That's not a myth. The flood was a solemn reality to those who perished in it. And the world will come to a sudden end. And whether it's sudden or not, death will come to us. This generation will be swept one by one or a number at a time into eternity. Are we prepared? Are we ourselves prepared to pass into eternity? Are you? Am I? There's questions for each one of us to answer. What's your answer? As before God. Are you ready to die? Or is it the other way? Are you not ready to die? And death is coming. Death is coming as surely as the flood came. Well, there's another aspect to what I have to say. That the righteous God provided an ark. And they were all free to go in. The Lord knew how big the ark needed to be. He knew how many would go into the ark. And if there had been more who would have gone in, the ark would have been bigger, no doubt. We can leave that. But God saved Noah. God saved his family. They went in when others didn't. And perhaps there wasn't a cloud in the sky when Noah went in and the Lord shut him in. Perhaps not a cloud in the sky, not a drop of rain. And they scoff very lightly. Noah's gone into the ark. Let us see what'll happen. They say confidently, let us see. But Noah had another mind. Noah believed. He believed what God had said. We need to believe what God has said. Noah did. And his family went in with him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now you see, that's what we have here. And what we have been speaking about. God speaking about things which for the most part are not seen as yet. I've been speaking about death. That is seen. Not our death. As yet. But the deaths of others. That's obvious. I don't need to spend time proving that people die. What we need to take to heart is, to put it in language that we all may use, I must die, and I don't know when. I don't know how soon death will come, but I will die. And we should add, and I must be ready. And cry out to the Lord to make you ready to die. Now Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his household. He prepared an ark according to God's direction. Now where is the ark for us to flee to? Well, that ark is Christ. He's the one that we are to flee to. Now that has all been prepared. What we need is to be willing to enter into that ark. We need to be willing to enter into that ark. That's a great matter. Are you crying out yourself this evening, Lord, make me willing. Make me to believe what is being said about Christ as an ark and the danger that I am in. Make me willing to flee to Christ. Make me willing to turn from my sins and to look to Christ. Yes. Noah went into the ark. He prepared the ark and he went in, by the which he condemned the world. And you see, when sinners turn to Christ, when they believe in Christ and they take refuge in him, they are condemning the world that continues in unbelief. They are condemning the world. Yes. Condemning the world. Condemning unbelief. They take advantage, so to speak, of the provision that is made, of the ark that has been provided. The Saviour that has been given to a lost world, they enter in. And you see, we're to proclaim that. Preachers of righteousness are to make this known. They can point to others who have entered in. It wouldn't be right or proper for me to point out people here today who I believe have entered into the ark. But I could point to people of the past. That would not be inappropriate. You could think of people you knew here, for instance, or in some other place, and you could say that they entered into the ark, they were saved. You can believe that they're in heaven now. You can believe that they're in heaven. They entered into the ark. And the fact that that is so is a condemning of the world. A condemning of you if you have not entered in. If you are still careless. If you are still unbelieving. Yes. And you see, we are to take seriously what preachers of righteousness say about the provision that has been made. As in 1 Peter 3:18, you have this. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, brought to life again by the Spirit. There you have the gospel in a nutshell. The great work of Christ for sinners. Christ put to death. Christ taking the place of sinners. The just one in the room of the unjust. The Saviour in the place of sinners. Yes. What a great provision. What a perfect provision. What a suitable provision. As a provision that is suitable for each one of us here this evening. Come then, sinner, and lay hold of Christ as a Saviour that is suited to you in your need. You see, the righteous preacher, Christ, who said, or it is said in the way of prophecy in Psalm 40, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. As he worked out redemption for sinners, and as he spoke about that work that he did and the effects of it. I have preached righteousness, again in Psalm 40. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. He's still doing it. We do not hear the voice of Christ and it's in the human sense, but we hear Christ speaking through his ambassadors. Yes, a preacher of righteousness still. Preaching about, speaking about, revealing a way of salvation that is suited to sinners in their needs. That's what he's telling us. He worked out redemption. And he is offering it to you. He is offering it to each one of us. Through his ambassadors. And through the word. And he is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor. You that are struggling. With your sins, in your sins, struggling in this world in one way or another, and perhaps even struggling to find salvation, laboring in that, well, come to Christ. Leave all these things behind you in a sense. Look to Christ, come to him. Commit your soul to him as a place of safety. Where you will be completely saved from the wrath to come, from the flood of divine wrath coming upon the ungodly. Take your place in the ark, in the place of safety that God has provided, that is Christ Jesus, and there is no one here but is called in that way. You might have your buts. Oh, put the buts away with everything else. Come to Christ. Plead with him. Say, draw me. Take away my unwillingness. Draw me into the ark. Or you could imagine someone. I don't believe there was any such person. But someone saying, I'm struggling with the idea of if it being necessary to enter the ark. I'm struggling with my unwillingness to come. And they might call out to Noah, will you not take me by the hand and bring me in? Well, you can certainly think of something like that in connection with a sinner in this world. Feeling unwillingness to come to Christ, feeling inability to come to Christ. Look beyond you, Noah, look beyond the preachers of righteousness in this world. Though listen to what they're saying, if they're genuinely proclaiming righteousness. But look to Christ. Ask for the Holy Spirit to draw you and to make you willing. Ask for the Holy Spirit to work a complete revolution in your way of thinking, in your soul. Yes, so that you might look to Christ, so that you might trust in him and be saved. Look unto me, Christ is saying. And he is saying that to you and to me. May we obey. May we go together to Christ. Yes. And is Christ righteous? Is the preacher righteous when he speaks about a sinner being saved? Is the sinner righteous? Sorry. Is the gospel message righteous? Yes, it is. And we might go to that verse in Romans 3, which speaks of God being just when he is the justifier of the sinner that believes in Jesus. It might be a trouble to some. How can God be just if he is going to pardon me, a sinner? Well, he is, because of what he did in Christ on the cross and throughout his time in this world. God is just. God is righteous when he pardons the ungodly that believe in Jesus. That's the important matter. If the sinner will believe in Jesus, God is just when he brings that sinner to himself. You look to Christ and you will be saved, and God will be God will justify you. God will accept you as righteous. God will accept your sins. God will accept you as if you had always kept the law. And he will be just in doing so for the sake of Christ. Yes. Yes. And we read further. I quoted from 1 Peter 3 about the way of salvation. And then Peter goes on to speak about Christ going to preach to the spirits in prison, who sometime were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Christ went to preach to the spirits in prison. Now, what is meant there is that when Noah was alive and was acting as a preacher of righteousness, Christ was preaching through him. But these were disobedient, and they continued disobedient, and they went to the prison of hell, and they are still there. They are identified as being in hell at the time when Peter was writing. But they were alive in this world when Peter was preaching to them. Yes. It's a solemn thing to go from a place of preaching to a lost eternity. How we should be concerned to listen to the preaching, when it's preaching concerning righteousness. God's righteous provision just now, not as in the first head, but just now, God's righteous provision for the salvation of sinners, when that is set before you, and when you are called to come to Christ. Yes, Christ's righteous provision. Yes. We are warned in Proverbs that a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on, the foolish pass on and are punished. A prudent man foresees the evil. Noah was a prudent man. He foresaw the evil of the flood. No one else had that prudence. They all rejected, unless there were others who died before the flood came. But of those who heard Noah's preaching and were still alive, there certainly was no one. It was just the eight and the ark. Yes, there are generations, many generations, when few are saved. And this is a generation in which comparatively few are saved. Let us be in earnest. Let us seek prudence. Let us seek wisdom from God. Let us hide ourselves in Christ, of whom the ark was a preacher. A picture, I should say. Yes. Let us not go on hardening our hearts against the Lord. Let us cry out to the Lord in our need to draw us to himself. But I ask you, as you have Paul's question in Romans 2, despisest thou the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing, not taking it in, not believing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The goodness of God in his longsuffering is intended to lead sinners to repent and believe the gospel. May the Lord bless his word to us.